Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week, we are on Talk World Radio. We are talking about U.S. foreign policy and starting with a little test the so-called Space Force recently did that you probably heard nothing about, preparing for a little nuclear war. Our guest returning to the program is our friend, the terrific peace activist, Elizabeth Murray, who was once the U.S. Deputy National Intelligence Officer for the Near East in the National Intelligence Council. She specializes in Middle Eastern political and media analysis, has lived and traveled extensively in that region. Elizabeth Murray is a member of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, the Sam Adams Associates for Integrity and Intelligence. In 2018 and 2024, she was an activist aboard the Gaza Freedom Flotilla. She has been a member in residence at the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action in Washington State, and lots more. Elizabeth Murray, welcome back to Talk World Radio.
Thank you for having me, David.
Thanks for coming on. You were recently at a place called Vandenberg. What is that and where is it and what was going on?
Yes, so it used to be Vandenberg Air Force Base and now they've changed their name to Vandenberg Space Force Base. So that gives you a hint of the Star Wars nature of the future, I fear. But we were there to be witnesses, six of us, to a test launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile that is periodically launched from the base with a dummy warhead where there would normally be placed in time of war a hydrogen bomb. And actually, there's space on the missile for three of those. So we were there to witness that. It was scheduled to happen at 11 o'clock at night, and they finally launched it at 1 o'clock in the morning. But we were also there to commemorate, and by the way, before I go on, it was a spectacular sight. I have protested in front of the base before, but in the daytime, and this was the first time I actually bore witness to the launching, and it streaks across the sky like a giant comet. And afterward, there's this deep, heavy rumble that it shakes your soul. It's like a sonic boom, but it's a big rumble. And I'm sure it unnerves, you know, the entire community. And it goes, I think it's 4,000 something miles. It lands all the way in Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands. And the Marshall Islands, as many of you know, was the target of 67 actual nuclear bomb tests in the Cold War era, between the 1940s and the early 1960s, and many of those islands were actually rendered uninhabitable. There was a massive relocation. So this, can you imagine the trauma of the remaining Marshallese society still being the target of these test missiles? So for me personally, and as a peace activist, and as you know, to all friends of the earth, this is obscene. This is appalling. The pollution, you know, in the surrounding waters of those islands is immense. And this happens on a regular basis. And I also want to mention that the scheduling of this launch was very haphazard. I mean, they had to change my train ticket three times because the Air Force used to announce these things, these launches, with plenty of time and fanfare and publicity. But back in 2012, there was a massive witness and protest with Dan Ellsberg, the great peace activist, David Krieger, and by the way, these people are all passed on now, David Krieger, who's the founder of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation, and Father Louis Vitale, the Franciscan priest who I think was arrested about 400 times in his lifetime against nuclear weapons. These three peace giants were present and they attracted such a large crowd. This was back in April 2012, that ever since that event, the Air Force stopped announcing it in time and they've now made it very, very difficult for peace activists to organize, you know, a protest. Now, I think now they give like only 3 days or something. So they really may make you scramble. And for that reason, there were only about six people present at the vigil on Tuesday night, because it's just, people will say I can come, and then they reschedule, and everyone has a life to live. So, but this to me is testimony of how powerful the witness is, that they actually decided to stop announcing it. And one of the things I told people that night when I gave the talk was, never underestimate the impact of your presence here. And if I'm sorry, I'm going on and on, but
Please do.
if I may just give an anecdote from my days at the CIA, whenever there was a protest in front of one of our gates, they would say that that gate, they would announce it, and they would say to the employees, that gate is closed. And they blocked it off such that you could not even see the protesters. That's how afraid of the power of their presence there were. And I, as an employee, I was always trying to find a way to catch a glimpse of them. I wanted to see, who are these people? Maybe I could be one of them someday. What are they doing? Or how badly are they getting in trouble, and that sort of thing. And the problem is, they didn't want to humanize these people, and they didn't want to get it into people's mind that, I don't agree with that war either. And look, those people are in solidarity with my thoughts as I'm in the belly of the beast. So, it's just the power of presence. And that's also the reason why Vandenberg launches these things, in the wee hours of the morning or the dead of night. There's hardly anybody going around. There was almost no traffic to see our signs. They want to minimize, the impact. So we're very grateful to whatever media, to social media, to any publicity that we can get. That helps a great deal. So.
Well, I have two immediate thoughts, maybe neither one worth anything, Elizabeth Murray. One is, having been one of those people protesting outside the CIA in Northern Virginia, you always wonder whether the people inside know anything at all, care at all, or bothered at all, whether you're just wasting your time. And then almost always you find out from somebody like you who's been on the inside that, yeah, it has an impact. They care, they're noticing. Keep doing it, bring two friends next time. The other thought I have is, why don't we just pick a day that we like, whether there's going to be a missile launched or not, and bring everybody and their cousins to Vandenberg in the daytime and protest.
What a great idea. There doesn't actually need to be a launch, because they're going to be doing them continuously anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent thought. And in fact, I will put that forward. Thank you. Great.
The other thing I've read about is that these horrific missiles that they're testing and launching, they actually want to replace them with newer, better, bigger, meaner ones called the Sentinel missiles, and they want to redo all the expensive infrastructure on the basis for doing that. At the same time that good, well-meaning peace activists are almost fainting with joy at hearing Donald Trump say he wants to get rid of nuclear weapons. So what's happening? Which is it?
Okay, well, let me first acknowledge what you just said. And yes, by the way, each of these missile launches costs $20 million just to launch it. And then, yeah, I think the Pentagon has estimated about $1 trillion to replace the nuclear triad that you mentioned. So this entire modernization program that Trump claims he wants to get rid of, is really obscene in its cost. And if I may also just say that, on the train trip up to Vandenberg, I saw these atrocious scenes on the margins of the railroad tracks of people living under little scrappy tarps and tents. And I thought about the $20 million cost of just these launches, and how much they could help serve some of these human needs. And it's interesting that many, as you know, many of the anti-nuclear people are Catholic workers or other people who work directly with the homeless, with the poor. And you know, the frustrating thing is that more and more working people are homeless because housing is getting scarcer and more expensive. People are being forced into the streets in record numbers, you know, or to their friends' couches or into the back seats of their cars. And everywhere along the railroad tracks, I saw evidence of this. And just, you know, they live in filth and rusty shopping carts. And even at the train station in Los Angeles, I went in the restroom there, and there was a clearly homeless woman trying to clean herself, trying to bathe. And instead of people giving her the dignity of allowing herself to practice hygiene, the security person was waiting for her to come out so he could arrest her. And it's just atrocious that these people, they're not even recognized as human beings. And you know, whenever people talk about housing or maybe some programs for food, there's never any money for it. But we have $1 trillion to throw at upgrading these things. And by the way, I don't believe anything that Trump says. You know, so some of the things he says I wish were true, like denuclearization or cutting the budget in half. I'm not buying it. You know, and on the other hand, I wish he were lying about you know, depopulating Gaza, being totally on board with exterminating and relocating the population so that he can build his real estate paradise on the Riviera. You know, but usually the only thing that makes me feel optimistic about Gaza is usually whatever Trump says, the opposite happens. So
Well, he's not gonna move everybody out because they won't leave and nobody will take them. But he may kill them all, which is worse.
That's
So
right.
not exactly the opposite, just different and worse, unless we stop him. But the other thing that happened in recent days was an announcement through the Secretary of so-called Defense, writing a memo that gets to the media that they're going to cut the military budget by 8% per year for 5 years. And within a matter of hours, they've made clear that no, actually, they're not going to cut anything. They're going to move money from one little program to a different one within the military. And one of the ones they want to move the billions of dollars to is the so-called Iron Dome, missile defense. Unworkable, doesn't happen. Been trying it since Ronald Reagan's days in those little island that this is where they tested is in those little islands where these missiles go, right?
Oh God, yes, exactly. So, but
This is
I know, for example, that Israel has it, and the latest example is that Iron Dome did nothing to help them.
And even if it did, compare the size of Israel to the size of the United States.
Exactly.
Nobody has suggested there's any possible way for the thing to be anything other than a waste of money or the creation of offensive weapons under the guise of being defensive weapons. What else can it be?
Yeah, or a jobs program like the F-35, you know, just a big white elephant that everyone knows is not going to work, but it's going to make certain people rich, and then they'll throw out a few jobs as crumbs, you know, temporary defense jobs. So yeah, no, I you know, and you know, everything Trump, I mean, in what was it? Didn't Trump say when in his first term that he was going to get rid of NATO? Didn't it actually expand under his watch?
Well, the media loved and still loves to say he's an enemy of NATO and threat to NATO and so forth. But what he actually did was demand that NATO member countries spend more money on weapons. Which is what Biden did as well, and Biden bragged about it. But Trump actually did more, got bigger increases out of these countries than Biden did. And Biden had a war in Ukraine to work with. So, if that's an enemy of NATO, give me NATO friends.
Right.
That's not the kind of enemy of NATO we need. We need to, demand for the rule of law and demilitarization and sane foreign policies kind of enemy of NATO.
Absolutely. And you know, why do we even need NATO? It seems to me that the only purpose we have for NATO now is to undermine Russia as much as possible. That seems to be, I mean, look at everything we've stationed around Russia. I mean, and somehow we're always painting Russia as the threat. And I actually, I mean, I'm sure you probably have an idea about this too, but all these so-called peace moves toward Russia, I mean, isn't it really to try to divide Russia from China, to try to split them off so that we can focus on China as our big enemy? I mean, do you really think that Trump, do you think Trump is a man of peace?
Well, I think starting to talk to Russia, no matter how stupid or counterproductive what gets said may be, is a step toward peace compared with we won't talk with them at all, which was the
Agreed.
previous
I
plan.
agree with you.
Because there's some chance of it going somewhere good. It's not going very obviously toward a just and sustainable peace, unless it develops beyond what I've heard about. But I'm with you. I don't believe things Trump says. I also don't try to imagine what Trump is thinking. I don't think he himself knows what he is thinking. But I wonder very much, because I mentioned in your bio that you've been on the Gaza flotilla twice. I wonder very much whether Trump times aren't a time for a much bigger Gaza flotilla with governments actually involved in supporting rather than sabotaging it, because we have court rulings that this is a criminal enterprise going on. We have open threats of ethnic cleansing. It seems that countries ought to be shipping aid into Gaza along with the Gaza flotilla, not, preventing it from sailing.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that was really unfortunate last year, that this great big ship, docked in Istanbul, laden with all sorts of medical aid and food aid, was not allowed by the Turkish government to proceed to Gaza. And when I mentioned that I was on the flotilla, it was on a smaller boat that had departed from Norway, and that did actually make it as far as Malta. It was a small Norwegian shipping vessel. It was sort of the plan B. And even we had only a nominal amount of food aid and some medicines as well. But you and I know that Israel controls governments. It cannot control peoples of these countries that are out in record numbers protesting. But clearly, Erdogan likes to play both sides. I mean, his rhetoric is very nice and beautiful on Palestine, but he continues to trade with Israel. And just like I think it was back in 2011, the flotilla was not allowed to depart from Greece for the same reason. The Greek government would not allow the ships to depart. So, the long arm of the powerful political forces that Israel controls in so many countries is very disturbing, because you're right, it's in flagrant violation of international law. And we also know that there are still hundreds and hundreds of trucks waiting to get in, to pass in through the border from Rafah and also from the north, that contain tents and the temporary housing that Israel promised as part of the ceasefire deal. And those apparently are never going to reach there, because Netanyahu has decided that he does not want these people to have shelter from the elements, from the freezing cold and the rain. And obviously, he wants more people to die so that they will, quote, voluntarily want to leave Gaza, which is now the next step of the Yeretz Israel, Greater Israel plan, the final solution, the transfer, which Trump is so excited about. So, yeah, this is really a slap in the face to international law. And I think that there's nothing more important for us all to do is to continue to get out into the streets, and yes, to have more flotillas, more pressure. We can't give up. I mean, who knows if we will succeed, but we can't just buckle down. There's always a saying that just when you think that it's time to give up, that's when you have to push harder. So
I agree. But didn't the US government, like last year, actually do this PR stunt where they built a doomed dock in Gaza to supposedly to do exactly what the Gaza flotilla was trying to do?
Right, the so-called humanitarian pier, which ended up being a joke because I guess, first of all, it wasn't for humanitarian. I mean, they had people, some commandos go in to try to rescue some Israeli hostages. I mean, it was just, and then actually the food that did get in through, I think José Andrés, the famous chef, brought in some food, and then Israel bombed those people and killed them all the humanitarian chefs and everything. And then the so-called, I mean, I shouldn't even laugh because it probably gave a lot of people in Gaza hope that there was actually something good going to happen, and the hope literally floated away. But apparently they wanted to use that for some sinister operational reason that had nothing to do with humanitarian aid, possibly even to get people out of there or whatever. But because the waters of the Mediterranean in that area were so turbulent, it was a big failure in every sense. But this just shows how hollow the credibility of the West and the United States is. And it's such a mark of shame on so-called Western civilization that most of the West has enthusiastically supported this genocide and continues to do so. And it reminds me of that famous response by Gandhi when he was asked what he thought of Western civilization. And I think he said, "I think it would be a good idea for so."
It surely would. It surely would. Elizabeth Murray, you started to say that we need to be in the streets. What specifically can we do in these crazier and crazier times? What is Ground Zero Center doing? What do you think of what students are trying to do on campus? What's effective at this point? Is it the same things that we were doing when Biden was on the throne, or is it different somehow?
Well, whoever's on the throne, that same material gets flushed. Let's put it this way. I mean, I'm sorry for being crude, but it doesn't matter who's in power. It's actually the same agenda through what Ray McGovern calls the Mickey Mad, or the military industrial corporate media complex. I'm not even sure I have
Congressional
it
intelligence media
right.
think tank, all that stuff.
Exactly. Can't forget the think tanks. But let me just speak to what's happening at the Ground Zero Center. I think there is some frustration that more needs to be done. In the recent past, we've done these very symbolic vigils and actions at the base, but not that many people get arrested, and the publicity is almost nil. And I think some of the older folks are very nostalgic for the 1980s, when we had a Seattle archbishop leading the charge. Archbishop Raymond Hunthausen was a passionate anti-nuclear activist. He used to come down to Ground Zero and give talks, and he drew hundreds of people. He was a very charismatic speaker, and actually, he was such a threat to the Vatican that they actually sent someone to Seattle to personally push him out because they didn't agree with him. But I think at Ground Zero, there is a momentum now to start doing more radical things, like maybe crossing that blue line more often. Are you listening, military people? But I think we need to be putting in, and I think this is something that I've read many times, you have to put in as much effort and energy toward peace as the military do toward war. You've got to devote more people, more resources, and much more passion. And I think you cannot be afraid of the consequences, which is why it's so important for newly minted senior citizens like myself to get off of the sofa, get out of the house, and go get arrested to whatever cause you believe in, whether it's climate justice or nuclear weapons or conventional weapons or anything that you believe in. Because let's face it, the consequences for people like us are a little bit less than, for example, the consequences to your college-age son. And it's really important. What are they going to do to me? I don't have a family to worry about. I don't have a job that I'm going to lose. So I mean, I would issue a call to people who are retired, to get out and get active and do something radical. And we all look up to people like Dan Ellsberg and Dan Berrigan, the Catholic Worker, and Father Louis Vitale, who protested into his 80s until I think he was 89 when he passed away, and he was protesting till the end, and he even observed Ramadan in protest against what we were doing in Iraq and continue to do in the Middle East, to so many innocent civilians. But that's what has to change is I think we all have to lose our fear of the consequences and just get out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the older people and the younger people and everybody in between. And if you're retired and able to have free time, and you see the catastrophe happening more quickly. Time more moves much more quickly if you're older. You can see it coming. Whereas young people, apart from being busy and tranquilized and propagandized, it seems the distant future, the collapse of the ecosystem and the coming of World War III. But to me, it doesn't look that far off. We've got just about 2 minutes left. What else can we do? What should we know? How can people keep in touch with you and follow your work?
I personally don't have a website, but I would s send people to either the defusenuclearweapons.org site, which is the site where they will inform you about the actions against the intercontinental missiles at Vandenberg, or you can
Elizabeth,
go to
defusenuclearwar.org is
I'm
the.
sorry, yes. And I think you have that on your website, right? Did I give you that?
Well, it's created by Roots Action, which I work for, but
Oh,
it's
I didn't know that. Sorry. Okay.
defusenuclearwar.org is a great website.
Yes, it is. I think so. And there's www.gzcenter.org. Our next action up there will be for Mother's Day. We're going to host Susan Crane as our guest speaker, who just got out of jail after protesting the placement of U.S. nuclear weapons in Germany.
Recipient of one of World Beyond War's War Abolisher Awards of 2024, a nonviolent protester of nukes in Germany who went to jail for justice. So that's great. The Ground Zero Center outside of Seattle, Washington is a wonderful place doing wonderful work for many years. Our guest has been Elizabeth Murray. We will have links up at talkworldradio.org. Elizabeth, thanks for everything you're doing and for coming on Talk World Radio.
Thanks for having me.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.